Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. I'm Mike Raley, and joining us here in the studio is Johnny Coley, who is Extension Horticulture. What is your title? You're the Extension agent in charge of horticulture for Granville and also for Person County.
Yes,
that's all I know.
Yeah. Good morning.
And good morning to you and my comrade at arms. The great Secretary of State and former Secretary of State and Attorney General and Deputy Chief Counsel on the Senate Watergate Committee and the current Secretary General of Gardening, Rufus Edmonston, is high atop a mountain near Boone. Good morning, sir, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning to you and Johnny and Craig.
Craig LeHoulier is with us from down south in the mountains.
Hello, hello.
Can everybody hear each other?
I'm hearing well here.
Okay, good, man.
Yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
By the grace of the good Lord, everything's working this morning.
Just need an eastern state, eastern of the state correspondent, and we'd be great.
Yeah. What?
Jealous of me and Craig being in the mountains for 64 degrees.
I know. Don't rub it in. Yeah. It's, I don't know, it's in the upper 70s already, yeah, I think, here. But we had some rain. Did y'all have any rain? just kind of seems to come on all of a sudden. Y'all had some torrential rain, I know, around Asheville or Madison County or, I don't know, McDowell County was what I was hearing. They were having some problems yesterday. What about in Hendersonville?
We have had a round of heavy thunderstorms and torrential rain come through almost every single day in July. It has been, for gardeners, it's been a bit of a headache, and it is leading to a lot of issues with tomatoes and a lot of other crops.
So, that's what Johnny said before we hit the door this morning.
Yep. It's been rough.
Yeah. So, Rufus, you're visiting with your brother from from Florida. Joe, I believe, and how is he?
Joe, I'm not with him at the moment, but he's over in the county at a place called Montezuma, which is right over the ridge in Avery County. And speaking of, and I hope we can get him, patch him in today. I gave him the call numbers. And speaking of torrential rains, about 2:30 as I was trying to come up the Wilkes Mountain from Wilkesboro, I had to stop twice. It was so bad.
Wow.
Somebody would run into me.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't drive in it, but I was scared to death of those other crazies.
Yeah. Well, you know, pulling off, be careful about pulling off, too. This is a public service announcement. Because people lose their direction. They don't know which. They think you're moving. You're in rain like that if you pull off sometimes. So you be careful, Rufus. You know.
Well, can you believe there is a state-sponsored pull-off on 421.
Oh, okay. Well, that was the smart. Of course, former Secretary of State would think of something like that. Good for you.
Speaking of my brother Joe, is 91 years old, and he got his degree, Craig, in botany, and Johnny, from the University of Georgia. Later taught botany at the Florida over in the Panhandle for a number of years, then became an economic consultant to companies that wanted to build somewhere, and my brother Joe's job was to search and see if they had dead trees that the house cock-headed woodpeckers and what the environmental impact would be on the building.
Oh, wow. All you Edmonstons are smart, aren't you?
Well, I have four brothers smarter than I am. I'll put it that way.
Oh, wow. Well, they must really be smart then. So, Craig, how are your tomatoes?
almost done. And this is not unusual for Henderson County to have a big burst starting early July, right through early August. And then the plants just end up going down to heavy infestations of septoria leaf spot, early blight. This year, something pretty devastating called pith necrosis came in. So I started with 16 plants, and I've got three healthy ones, and the rest are limping along. But we've had plenty of tomatoes. We've made all of our favorite recipes. So that's just what it is. What it's like. You get the quick burst. You eat as many as you can. You start turning red, and then that fades when your plants die off.
But, yeah. What varieties have done the best this year?
Well, family heirlooms, one called Earl, which was sent to me. It's a variety that was sent home from Europe during World War II, and the family shared it with me. Really nice tomato. Looks a lot like a brandy wine. One called Captain Lucky, which is actually a green and pinky purple tomato the flavor is just unbelievable. 3 years in a row now, it's been my favorite tomato to eat, and an orange one called Potato Leaf Yellow. But some of my regulars, like Cherokee Purple, which has grown great for me every year since 1990, almost every fruit had blossom end rot on it. So it's been a year where some of the favorites have struggled and some of the obscure ones have done great. But if you're growing heirlooms or even if you're growing tomatoes around here, you never quite know what's going to be happy in a given year.
My goodness. Yeah. Rufus, what variety did best for you?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, what variety did best for you?
I need to tell Craig that I have one. My cousin Gladys, who unfortunately died, sent from seed. It had a huge leaf, big tomato, not totally red, pinkish, and she didn't know what it was. She just called it a heritage. She called it heritage tomato.
Right.
But my Cherokee Purple, all cracked. They cracked. The one that did the best was the Park Whopper, and it did not get much over the size of a tennis ball, but no disease. But the rest of them have blight, and I don't know how the Craig, the Julier Rufus tomato did, because Gerald has not shared that with me yet.
You know, I shared seeds with maybe a dozen people, and they all absolutely loved it. I'll have to find a picture somebody posted of a plant covered with them, and they canned them and made sauce with them. So your tomato is a big hit. I don't know about the striped one. I haven't heard any reports back on that yet, but the Rufus Rainbow will be in seed catalog mentioning you probably next year. And when it is, I'll send you the blurb.
We'll have to get every seed catalog known to man next year.
Yeah. But people love it. It's doing great.
How about that, Rufus?
I'm sitting here thrilled. There's some folks over here listening, and I prepared them before. I said, if you think I'm over here talking to myself, I'm really doing a weekend gardener show that I appear on.
What are you, at a truck stop or something?
Here's a guy smoking a big long cigar sitting at a table outside the hotel. It's sort of amusing.
I'm sure it is. Well, you know, in this day and age, people never know what's going on, so it's probably not that big a deal, Rufus. At some point, they will recognize you.
Yeah, well, not in a transient hotel like this, but, Greg, I have thought of the name that my cousin Gladys thought it was maybe a holder. Have you ever heard of that?
No, but, you know,
H-O-L-D-E-R, holder.
Huh? No, I've not heard of it, but why not? There's thousands and thousands of varieties, and I've only grown about maybe a quarter of them, so sounds great. Yeah, if you can get me some seeds, I'd grow it and take a look at it.
All right, we're going to attempt a three-person phone deal here, so everybody listen carefully. I don't know if this is going to work or not, but we have Hall of Famer Tom Campbell, one of my favorite people in the world. Tom, good morning, sir. The floor
good
is yours.
You. Yeah, good morning. I enjoyed listening to your conversation. I had a couple of questions I wanted to ask Craig, if I could.
Yeah.
I can hear you. Go for it.
I heard you talking about the conditions there. My tomatoes here are drying up. The vines are. The tomato production is drying up. Is there anything I can do to kind of rejuvenate it? I know you can grow tomatoes until October, but can I juice it up some and get some more production?
Great question.
Well, yeah, I think looking at the temperatures that you've had out there, the heat has definitely impacted the fruit set, especially if you're growing the big ones. I think really the only thing you can do, if the plant's got some wilt, really seriously wilting, there's not a whole lot you can do. If it's growing fine and it's just dropping blossoms, you just keep it fed and keep it watered and keep it as happy as possible until the temperatures improve, which it looks like they will be. And once you can get some temperatures in the 80s instead of the 90s, they should start producing tomatoes again. But this Good. Weather's been hard on anything that's 1 pound or over, the varieties that produce the big ones.
Well, I took your advice, and I've started a second crop
of
tomatoes, and they're up about a foot high. As these die out, I'm going to start the other ones.
You know, I can't really double crop here in Hendersonville because we get a different set of very aggressive diseases that come in later, and then the angle of the sun decreases, so we just have to go for the one main crop. People get frustrated because they go to the farmer's market in August and they can't find tomatoes because the only way you can seem to grow tomatoes later is in a greenhouse or undercover.
Yeah,
so it's a summer vegetable that disappears pretty early in the summer in this area.
Are there any varieties that work better for that second crop?
Smaller ones, maybe at things that top out at around a pound. I mean, at about a half pound. 6 or 8 ounce varieties will probably do better. Cherry tomatoes, of course. Anything up to a golf ball will grow like a weed and give you a lot. But as your fruit size increases, the plants just get a little bit fussier about the conditions they're growing in.
Tom, what else you got?
Well, I was going to tell him, I've had a great time sharing your book and sharing tomatoes with friends and family, and it's been a great experience, and I've loved it. Can't wait to get started again next year. But out of all
well,
of the discussions, Craig,
consider me a seed source. Anything you want, you just ask, and I'll send it off.
I'll tell you, you don't have a better advocate than Tom Campbell. He spreads. He's like Johnny Appleseed. He spreads the book all over the place.
The Church of Craig.
Thank you, my friend.
That's right.
Well, Tom, let me varieties are.
Rufus, what were you going to say?
I say, let me add to Tom's comment about Craig's book. Even if you don't garden, it is the most beautifully put together book I've ever had.
It is.
Yeah. With picture after picture after picture, and it will be a favorite this winter, Christmas time, with gifts to people, because it's just amazing. Epic tomatoes, folks. Epic tomatoes. Get it.
Absolutely. I put the photo of it on the cover on my Facebook page, along with the fact that y'all were going to be on this morning. So,
well, I wanted to ask Craig,
my face is now the color of a tomato. You guys have got me blushing, but I really, really appreciate your friendship and support. That's very kind.
Tom?
Yeah, Craig, I wanted to ask you, what are your favorite varieties of tomatoes?
Oh my gosh! Well, you know, my top 10 is always going to have Cherokee Purple, Cherokee Chocolate, Cherokee Green. One that the bees helped me breed in Raleigh called Lucky Cross. Captain Lucky, Polish. There are just so many. My top 10 stays pretty much the same, but I may bump something on or off it depending on how it's doing lately. But
do you have your top 10 listed somewhere?
Yeah, well, I have it on my talks. And I actually, if anybody's interested, I have examples of each of the one-hour talks that I've done at venues. I've allowed people now to put them on the internet, and I've got links to them. So if anybody would like to attend one of my talks, but not attend them, just watch them on YouTube, I can send people links. I do a tomato talk, a gardening history one on containers and straw bale gardening. So,
and if folks just go on YouTube and
yeah.
and put Craig LaHoulier on there?
Or they can drop me an email at nctomatoman@gmail.com, and I'll send them some specific links so they don't have to go searching for it. But, I've decided I'm an educator, coach, whatever, and I just want to give my information away to anybody who will find it useful.
I've enjoyed using the containers, and all of my tomatoes are containers. And the heat
great.
Has certainly been a tremendous factor, but I've been watering them twice a day.
yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, in this area with our torrential downpours, since I'm in straw bales or containers, my plants are fine because any water the plants don't need just flushes out the bottom. Whereas people who are growing in soil, the drainage may not be great, and they're the ones that are going to struggle the most when we get these, you know, two or three inches of rain every late afternoon. That's if I walk into my backyard, it's like 2 inches of standing water in some parts of it. So straw bales and containers are a savior for areas where we get heavy rain.
And it's hard to grow tomatoes year after year in the same spot, obviously, just like many crops. And you have to have some professional fumigation and all of that if you're going to go to that process. A lot of rotation. So a lot of people are moving to containers especially.
Yeah, well, we're gardening right now is a moving target because I think I had told your listeners before, when I moved into Raleigh in 92, we had 5 days at 90 or above. When I moved out in 2019, we had 75. So it's the conditions are becoming less and less kind for crops like tomatoes and peppers. And gardeners have to be really savvy to try to keep ahead of whatever the conditions are.
Yeah. Well, as long as some bacon's involved, I'm okay for whatever kind of tomato.
And your white bread.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, Tom, Melissa has me moving on to pumpernickel and things like that. It's good.
I'll try.
Rufus is not going to engage in a conversation about that, but because he is a white bread fan.
Yeah, Marino. Sunbeam white bread.
Yes, Sunbeam white bread.
Sunbeam.
Yeah.
I used to roll that into little balls when I was 6-7 years old. You could make one slice of Sunbeam into a ball about a quarter inch wide.
Of course, that was a snack. Grab two or three pieces of bread and mound it up, and that's all you needed. Little did we know.
Vermin in there too.
What'd you say, Rufus?
I rolled in all that sweat and vermin. I did the same thing.
We always insisted that Mom buy Merida bread because they sponsored the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, good for you, Tom. Yeah, I liked Merida too growing up. That was good. Brother Tom, any other problems with your tomatoes you'd like to discuss?
No, I have loved it. Lib says that next year I got to do something because I've taken up the whole deck with these containers.
She has a time with you, Tom, I know.
She says it ain't pretty.
Well, give her our love, please.
We'll do it. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Rufus.
Stay in touch, Tom. Ask anything, anytime.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, Brother Tom. Rufus,
will do.
All right, brother. Hall of Famer Tom Campbell and my former boss many, many years ago, about 40 years ago, as a matter of fact. 919-860-9783. You're listening to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. Well, Johnny Cole. Johnny, do you want to chime in with anything for Craig before we go to a break?
Well, Craig, we were pretty dry here in Piedmont area through through June, and didn't see a lot of early blight is a big yep. issue. For
now,
us
is that, that's
here.
In Person and Granville.
Person and Granville. The Piedmont area. We were. I don't think we had an inch of rain the whole month of June.
Yeah.
But so early blight was not as big of an issue. But I do have a grower that actually had some southern blight issues, and it's a perennial problem for him. He does rotate from site to site. Any insight on the southern blight?
Oh, that's a nasty one. It's that's bacterial basis, and it gets into the soil, and rotation really is the only way to avoid that. And, you know, the spores that just blow onto wet leaves like early blight and septoria, they really can be managed by just picking off the diseased foliage. But you get into the fusarium wilt, the southern blight, the bacterial wilt. Yeah. What I suggest to people is if it's a really great garden spot and you can't rotate, that's when you can put down some landscaping fabric and use containers or straw bales to keep the plants above the diseased soil for a few years. And as long as you keep the roots from going to that soil, it should be in much better shape. And then maybe 3 years after, you can get tomatoes back into the ground in those areas. But it's a real problem. And if you look at old seed catalogs from the 1870s, 1880s, we've been dealing with just about all these tomato diseases right from the beginning of when we started growing them in the U.S. So we've not found many great solutions, that's for sure.
Yeah. By him being a commercial grower, he has tried some of the drenches and seems to have helped some this year.
Yeah.
Inga Meadows has a good program of rotating through different fungicides for him, and that seems to have helped. But still, some of them still get it.
Yeah, and even the hybrid varieties that have become really expensive with all the letters after them. Yeah. They give you maybe a few more weeks, but there is no such thing as absolute resistance.
Yeah, that's what I tell people.
A lot of disease,
resistant, not proof. So,
Well, thank you for doing what you're doing because you know the extension. I'm giving a talk to the Buncombe County Extension in October, and I just love working with master gardeners because they're doing, you know, teaching people to grow their own food gets them healthier, gets them eating healthier. So you're doing God's work, my friend.
Appreciate what you, and we have to get you up to the Piedmont area and speak sometime.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever come up here or not, Craig. Do you?
How far you
I
come?
I can be enticed. I can be enticed.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we kind of gather up some several counties. I have a mass meeting of several counties for Craig.
Meeting.
Yeah, regional meeting. I think that'd be great.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
All right. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener here on WPTF. Johnny, sit tight. Craig, enjoy yourself there for a minute. Rufus, you sit there in your rocking chair and hold on to that cigar, and we'll take a break and be back with more of the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We're back on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Johnny Coley, Extension Agent in Granville and Person County. Craig LeHoulier is with us from Hendersonville, the Hendersonville area. And Craig, author of Epic Tomatoes and other books, and a longtime Triangle resident, but he is retired to the coolness of the mountains and growing tomatoes there. He is our tomato guru. And by golly, What else could we say about Rufus Edmonston, who is sitting on a porch at a motel right now, smoking a cigar and joining us this morning? And Rufus, so is your brother, Professor Joe Edmonston. Professor Edmonston, how are you, sir?
Well,
I'm happy and healthy up here in the mountains.
Oh,
getting away from Pensacola, Florida.
You're glad to be away from Pensacola. Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, that's so nice. This is the first brother that I've been able to meet, and I'm just thrilled. You taught botany. We had a botanist on not too long ago from this area, and it's fascinating.
My botany is way outside of gardens, but I do have a lot of experience because of the same mother we shared.
Well, we have had many stories shared about your sweet mother. She said it all and did it all and did it all right. And of course,
if I had any advice to give my little brother, it wouldn't be so much about which particular brand of tomato to grow, but to keep that soil proper, the cation exchange capacity.
It is a really tough thing. I don't know how y'all deal with it in Florida. I'm sure that y'all have a lot of disease problems there too. Joe.
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so.
Absolutely, because of the humidity. So we do have some disease problems. But Rufus has done such a good job following up on what he learned on the farm, the big farm where we had two gardens. We very seldom had any flowers around the house because we had automatic lawnmowers called horses and cattle.
I've heard about them. Yeah. Yeah. That used to be all we had. But, I think, Joe, that Rufus probably could have been agriculture commissioner too, if he had sought that.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. I think Rufus, you could have handled that job.
Well, I got waylaid, as I've told everybody about it, going down there to interview for the Moorhead Scholarship at Chapel Hill, and got down there on the street and got into what my grandmother would call devilment, and got captured by Chapel Hill and ended up going there. And by the way, my brother Joe one time taught in the Chapel Hill High School system.
Wow. Well, that's a great system. So how did you end up in Georgia, Joe?
I taught at the University of Georgia and led some environmental research in Puerto Rico, connected with the digging a sea level canal. They were planning to use atomic bombs to dig a sea level canal. So while I was at the University of Georgia teaching botany, I did experiments in the tropical rainforest.
Wow.
Which is not very closely related to gardening, but we don't like radioactivity, whether it's in the garden or...
No. I'm glad you got them straightened out on that, Joe. Good gracious. Well, from Georgia to Florida, and you've been there ever since. So it...
Yes.
So it...
Retired and I've always come to the mountains of North Carolina in the summer and put out a big garden, and where I was not so quite so picky about which type of tomato, but I always had rhubarb and tomatoes and corn and peas and everything, including a big patch of gladiolas and dahlias.
Wow.
The mountains of North Carolina is a beautiful place to be, and my little brother Rufus is sitting on a porch close by.
Yeah, Rufus has talked about your mother a great deal, and of course she made a big impression on you too. Did you learn more about gardening from your mother or father?
Oh, definitely the mother. The father was a game warden.
Yeah.
And he was on the road an awful lot with chasing down people who were taking deer illegally. But the mother was the teacher. We were lucky, weren't we, Rufus?
We certainly were. And remember, she was the church flower lady. He supplied the churches, the church, Three Forks Baptist Church, with the flowers, Craig, and he was the church flower lady.
Oh, about that. Well, Joe, we are so honored that you took time to call us and to share some time with your brother and to learn more about another Edmonston.
Yeah, there were five of us, the boys and one girl. My daddy was always teasing people. He says, I've got five children. Each one of them has a sister. You've got 10 children? No, there's just one of them.
Well, that must be, is that where y'all got your sense of humor from your father?
Yes. I'm proud of you, little brother Rufus, not only your politics, but I'm proud of you for carrying on the gardening tradition.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Keep it up, little brother. I love you, little brother. Fix it to hang up now. You ready to hang up?
Well, if you want to, you can stay with us as long as you want to, Joe. But we're so glad that you took time to call.
Well, I don't want to dominate it. There are other people that need the advice from my little brother Rufus.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much.
Let's go.
Goodbye. Adios.
Adios.
Bye bye.
How about that, Rufus?
That was a thrill. I didn't know whether they would get through or not. We talked about it last night. We went to Sorrento's over in Banner Elk, and you know who owns Sorrento's, a friend of mine.
Yeah. Well, y'all are all over the place, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Greg, have you ever been to Sorrento's in Banner Elk?
No, haven't. In fact, I think we've only been to Banner Elk once some years ago when our kids were little. So we got a lot of getting around to do.
Yeah, y'all got to go up north some.
Yep. our daughter actually lived in Boone for some years, so we did get up there now and then. But now she's down near us in Hendersonville, and she's expecting. So we are going to be grandparents.
Oh, wonderful. Time. Congratulations. Yep. You know, Every Appalachian State University student I've ever met wanted to live in Boone. Yeah, and so your daughter, did she go to school there?
No, she just moved out there with her husband, and then let's just say it didn't work out. So she came down near us, and she's due December 25th.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So our lives are about to be... Well, her life's going to be turned upside down, her and her boyfriend, and my wife and I as well. My wife's been quilting and knitting up a storm.
Yeah, babysitting. Man, a lot of babysitting, yeah. Craig.
Yes, yes.
You're going to be babysitting tomatoes and a grandchild. And you'll teach them all about that.
That grandchild is going to know how to play the guitar and know how to grow vegetables and flowers. So there's that.
I did not know that you were a guitarist.
Oh, I was in a lot of really bad cover bands back when I was in my teens. And that's all we'll say about that. We won't talk about the kind of places I played in either. But
oh, well, that's okay. Rufus sang in those places.
Oh, my God.
I thought I saw him on the dance floor once, but, that's all right.
Well, did you, Rufus, you went to some kind of thing, a Motown Revue-type thing, cover bands the other night, didn't you? Did you dance any? Did you stand up and dance?
Well, I danced in the seat. It was they would parody the people of an earlier generation like the Platters and others, and it was a fun show.
Well, good.
John Carroll.
Yeah.
And Fat Leg.
Yeah, Fat Leg. That used to be one of Rufus's drivers or somebody. I don't know. He had a lot of characters, as we do on this show. So, Craig, what should people, now that things are, if you don't have a fall garden, a fall tomato patch, what should we do with that pot or the land they're planted in?
Yeah, well, a few things if you're growing tomatoes. Keep the ugly foliage off the plant, and that will help carry them through. If you're growing in containers and the plant has done well and the worst that's gotten is the foliage disease, that you can you can actually leave that soil in the plant, leave it outside over the winter, let those diseases get killed off a little bit, and then just refresh it next year. The only time I replace planting mix in containers now is if the plant goes down to something like a southern wilt, bacterial wilt, fusarium wilt, a disease that gets in through the root, so you know that you don't want to put anything back in there. But, you know, it's funny. I went from in-ground to containers, and now I'm making the move from containers much more towards straw bale gardening just because they seem to perform better here. One straw bale is the equivalent of two 20-gallon containers, which means that's a lot of money invested in potting mix. You get that just in a $5, $6, $7 straw bale. So, and then after your straw bale's done, you've got perfect compost to use in your containers or to grow potatoes in or garlic or things like that. So, you know, it's really good to recycle your materials as much as possible and to find ways to use what you grow in, your flower beds, your other vegetables that are not in the tomato family.
What if there is disease present in tomatoes that are grown in straw bales? What about the compost then? Is that?
Well, then you don't want to use it on the tomato family, and even some plants like basil will get some of the tomato diseases like fusarium. So you just look around your yard. Flower beds are okay, but if you leave that outside to go through your winter you get a good freeze, you can use it as mulch. And usually tomatoes grown in straw bales, you're starting clean. And rarely do you have root vector diseases in straw bales. So you can use that pretty much everywhere. What I do with straw is I fill 20-gallon containers with the spent straw, which is pretty composted down. Just stick a few pieces of potatoes in, and from 2 ounces of potatoes, you can harvest 10 or 15 pounds of potatoes, maybe 20 from that big, big container. So, you know, you just poke around and experiment, and all of your master gardeners will tell you that. The most fun thing about gardening is screwing up occasionally, learning about what went wrong, trying something different, even if people advise you not to, and finding a new thing that works. Every gardener has something that's their own that they've discovered that they can share. So it's just have fun. I mean, you guys have fun.
Yeah, we certainly do. There's no doubt about that. Something that farmers have done and growers of tomatoes at the end of the year, they would incorporate, maybe get a soil test, and incorporate lime into the soil. Is lime used for your pots or for your containers or the straw bales in any way?
I don't use it because they start off neutral, and if you got your plants in and you're feeding it, tomatoes like a pH between 6 and 7, and the real need for lime would be if you're in an area where you get lots of pine needle drop or you're composting a lot of leaves and you're starting to acidify the soil a little bit. The lime will sweeten it up. If you get your pH too low, if you're too acidic, that can lock up the ability of the plant to take up calcium, so you're getting your blossom end rot issue. But, most soil is in pretty good shape, and really it's about just the regular feeding, the regular watering. Mulching is so important. Keep that soil from splashing up onto your leaves, because the soil is where a lot of the diseases are. And if you can keep that at bay, tomatoes are one of those things. Try to build all the quality in from the front and keep them healthy, because once they get something bad, they're pretty much done. Go ahead.
Yeah, of course, you need to sterilize, I guess, the containers.
If I'm only getting things like septoria leaf spot and early blight, I stopped doing that years ago.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Those disease spores are everywhere. They're all around us. So
you can
sterilize the pot and do all of that, and they're going to blow in and adhere to your foliage. And there was a good point made earlier about how dry it started out in June.
Yeah, John.
When you're dry, you see very little disease. It's when the rains start, the leaves get wet, there are magnets for all of those disease spores blowing around, and that's where the problems come in. So You know, my friend Alex, who grew in Carborough, he was the Peregrine Farms Market, the one who first introduced Cherokee Purple to people in a market setting. He went to high tunnels. By keeping the rain off his plants and irrigating from below, he extended his season by weeks, if not months. And so people are doing much more of that, protecting the plants from the rain, which will keep them healthier.
Yeah, I've got some growers, Craig, that say once they get their plants in the ground, they raise a lot of things on plastic, and they don't care whether it rains again or not. If, as long as their water supply holds up where they're watering from, they don't really care for the rain because of that. Yeah, the diseases.
Yeah, exactly. Really, you know, it's funny. Most gardeners are saying, I hope that it rains so I don't have to water. But the other things people don't think about is tomato plants are pretty dense, and that foliage prevents the water from getting to the bottom of the plant if you're in a container in a straw bale. So I still go out and water, even if we're getting a rain, because the rain's not always going where you want it to go.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier about things change from year to year. A lot of times I go out to site visits and people say, I don't know what happened. I did exactly the same thing I did last year. And I usually say, that's probably your problem, because things change so much, weather being the number one thing.
Yeah. Well, I like to tell gardeners, make a plan and then get maybe the first week into it and then kind of rip up the plan, because invariably your temperatures are going to be different. The rainfall, it's just, but that's why gardening's such a great hobby, because you have to engage your mind and think through problems. And that, it's just, you know, you spend your time out in the yard listening to the birds sing. A hummingbird just came up here a few minutes ago and sat, looked at me for a few seconds and thought, ooh, that's not a flower, and then took off. But it's a great place to be outdoors.
Yeah.
Of course, except when it's 100 to 100.
Yeah, that is rather unpleasant. Jason is with us. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you calling from?
Well, we're a young couple with a newborn on the way here in Indiana.
Oh. Well, are you originally from North Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you keeping up with us.
Oh, I love to listen to Craig.
Yeah. How can we help you?
Well, we were just wondering about our corn and soybeans up here in Indiana.
Corn and soybeans. That may be more of Johnny's. what kind of problems are you having? Corn here is pretty well gone because of the drought. Yeah. We had a terrible drought in June that lingered into July.
It's been about it's similar down there in North Carolina. We've got it's been pretty wet, and then pretty dry. It was pretty dry, then it was pretty wet, and then it's pretty dry. It's pretty wet.
Yeah, well, that's what a farmer
contends with
year after year. Unfortunately, how is the crop looking up there? The soybean and corn.
It's looking really good. We're doing really good up here. So yeah, everything's looking really good. We've got some farmers that are, doing a second crop. That they run the wheat. They're doing some beans and our beans and corn are actually looking really good. I know that Craig is really into the straw bales.
Yeah. Have you tried straw bales?
I have not tried the straw bales, but I'm really interested in hearing about that, because I've just never used straw bales. I've always grown out of the ground, but it seems like there's some advantages to using the straw bale.
Yeah. Well, I know this guy, Jason. How you doing, my friend?
Doing good.
Oh, it's a plant, huh?
I don't think it's a plant.
I mean, not that kind of plant, but...
How's your visit in Indiana going?
What's that?
How's your trip going to Indiana?
Oh, it's going wonderful. We went to the state fair last night.
Oh, great.
It's us.
That must be the wife. Must be the wife, Craig. It's old home's week.
Let's just say Jason's going to be, he's family.
How about that? Well, that's wonderful. Well, you can, Jason, you can listen, because I listened to the show when I was in Dubrovnik, Croatia in May. I listened to the show at WPTF.com, our radio station. So you can hear us up there and probably some other methods. But so y'all are vacationing, visiting family up there?
Yeah, we're visiting family.
How about that? Well, that's wonderful.
Well, my dad, no, it was my mom's idea.
Okay. Yeah.
There's my daughter, Caitlin.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations, Caitlin.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Good gracious.
This is so much fun. I love it.
Rufus's brother that he hadn't seen in a long time, who's 91 years old, is up here, and he called. And now you. That's wonderful. Yeah, we're all family. Oh, wow.
Caitlin, by the way, and Jason are wonderful gardeners. Caitlin is a chip off the old block growing tomatoes. She grew tomatoes successfully living in Texas. So in Abilene, Texas.
Wow.
She really knows what she's doing.
A little dry around there. But Jason, don't call again and try to set me up with a corn and soybean question when you don't know the answer.
That's great.
It's not fair. That's wonderful that y'all called.
We're just very proud of my dad.
Well, you should be proud of him. Everybody loves him up here. Or down here.
Yeah,
we love having him on the show, and people love his books and so forth.
Now I'm the color of a Cherokee purple. Tomato.
Well, that's good. You should be. You should be blushing. All right. Well, thank you, Jason, and thank you, Caitlin, and thanks to the baby to be.
Thank you very much.
All right, have a nice day.
You too.
Bye-bye, guys.
How about that, Craig? How about that, Rufus? Right, no. Everybody's calling this morning. All the family.
My wife just popped her head out the door and said, "That's Jason. That's our Jason."
Yes, right. So, Craig, we're about out of time. I don't know. When to have you on next? We'd love to have you on. We will definitely, starting in the spring, have you on. But you're welcome to call anytime. You know the number.
Yes, I will be more frequent because this is just too much fun, and it's just great to connect with people in my home state, and obviously people in Indiana and everywhere.
Yeah, I mean it is everywhere. If I can pick us up in on the radio, but. Through the internet in Croatia, then you know it's amazing. It's an amazing world, and I appreciate your time so much. Y'all have a great day today in beautiful Hendersonville.
Well, thank you so much. It'll be soon. I'll be in touch with you.
Please do. Great. Any week, any Saturday.
Great talking to you all. Have a wonderful day. Yeah.
Thank you, Craig.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Brother Rufus. Hang in there. Put that seatbelt on that rocking chair, and we'll be back here on the WPTF Weekend Corner.